There it is. Okay, it's showing up on YouTube. Hello, everybody. How are you all doing? You probably got to see all the awkwardness, but I get to experience the latency. So hello, welcome into the live stream. We'll give everyone a few minutes here. I should probably move that wire. Let me give everyone a few minutes to kind of get settled. I hope you're all doing very well today. And let me also go ahead and try to get the live chat going in the other browser. So that way you all can see yourselves after the fact here. I don't know why I had a total brain fart and forgot to include that before I start recording. But let's start by just saying, do I sound good? Do I look good? Please leave me some feedback. And then if you're here early, definitely share this around. If you have anyone that you think would be good to share this with, and that way we can get some more people in here to share their wins. This is the weekly privacy win, so you get to share any parts of your journey, things that are going well, things that aren't going so well, minor things that you think are going pretty well, big things that you did, pretty much anything that you want to share. This is kind of a fun space for you to be able to share those things. And then besides that, we're going to talk today about our highlight question, which is someone who talked about how they moved away from WhatsApp after 15 years, which is pretty exciting because that's a long time to be using WhatsApp. And we'll talk about some of the strategies that I think can really help some of you out there as well. You know, I'm not going to answer all of your problems, and I'm not going to get everyone in your life to magically convert to something better, but we can still go through quite a few things. So I'm getting my third tab up here. And do I sound good? I see all good. My friends sound great. Some of my friends will not make the switch to Signal. Yeah, we'll talk about that because I don't know if we should aim for perfection because it's really hard to convince everybody to do it, but we'll get there. And then let me just copy the link to the live stream and then we'll all be a little bit more in sync here. Okay, 1, 2, 3. And let me move this window over here, and then let me screen share, and then we'll all be on the same page now. Windows and browser. There we go. Okay, and then that is very obnoxious with the bars, so let me fix that for you guys. There we go, and then boom, looks pretty good. Then let me change the layout a little bit, and then we can make this a bit wider. There we go. All right, I am here, I'm ready for you all. And so the general layout of all of these, again, just would like to remind you all, I'm gonna go through the highlight win of the week, which is from Moonwriting, who, like I just said, 15 years, after 15 years, moved over to WhatsApp. And then they also wrote a blog post that I thought was really well done and I'd love to kind of walk through as well because they went ahead and covered this. So I wanted to go ahead and just kind of go through it. For the record, I haven't read the blog post yet. So this is my first time looking at this. I'm hoping there's nothing really crazy in there, but I'd like to kind of go through Moonwriting's journey and see like how it aligns with what I've done. And then someone even asked, what's the reasoning for deleting WhatsApp? So I'll answer that in a bit of a second here. But that's going to be the layout. And then while I'm talking, go ahead and leave your wins, leave any questions you have, and then I'll go ahead and go through. We don't have that many. We have 11 people who left their wins on the forum this week. So go ahead and leave yours in the live chat, and then we'll just open it up to just a general like live chat live stream after a certain amount of time. So welcome in, everyone, and let's go ahead and get started. So to kind of start with the person's first question here, why delete WhatsApp in the first place? So I made a video quite a while ago, which is here, and it's why I'm leaving WhatsApp. There's three A-B testing titles. That's actually not the main one. The video's not that much about Signal, and it's more about reasons to avoid WhatsApp. And it talks about, yes, it's owned by Facebook. It talks about all the data that Facebook collects, the metadata, and how it's quite misleading. They advertise things as being extremely privacy-centric, even though there's still a lot of sensitive data they do collect about their users, like who they're talking to, how often they're talking to them, the size of attachments they're sending to each other, tying that to the rest of your Facebook profile and your Instagram profile and everything else that's a Facebook product. So there are legitimate concerns, 1,000%, with WhatsApp. On top of that, you are supporting Meta/Facebook. It's one of the most exploitative companies, I would argue, in history. And so there is a multifactorial reason. Is that a word? There's multiple reasons to be avoiding WhatsApp. And especially when there are just simply better tools for your safety that don't really sacrifice much convenience, assuming the people you want to talk to move to it as well. Of course, the issue that we're all going to stumble on is we actually need to talk to people on these platforms. Now, Moonwriting went ahead and put this blog article pretty much talking about the enchantification of WhatsApp has reached a point they can't ignore. Their journey began in 2010 to 2013, and ever since then, it has felt like everyone assumes you're on WhatsApp, and it would be really weird if you weren't. But the times have changed. And essentially, they go through the issues themselves. It's owned by Meta, an American tech giant, which has been fined billions over the years for privacy violations. It doesn't extend to backups by default for end-to-end encryption, which is something I do talk about in my video, how to enable end-to-end encryption in your WhatsApp account for the backups, because otherwise, they can just read all your backups and all your messages. So not very good. Metadata as well, who you're talking to and when, who are your contacts and which groups are you in, et cetera. WhatsApp's starting to force AI onto users without even an opt-out option. So they talk about how Signal was a pretty good option for them. I'll talk about other options besides Signal as well. And then they talked about how, Yeah, going against the current is never easy, but sometimes we need to be the ones who act so our societies can continue to improve. When I leave WhatsApp, I may lose some convenience from time to time, but I also gain peace of mind by knowing my data will stay more private from now on. I'm also able to complete my Meta exit since I've already left Facebook and Instagram. The time has come for me to say farewell to WhatsApp as well. So, congrats, of course. You know, that's a huge win. And we'll talk about how maybe not everybody can do this quite yet in their journey. But this is really big, especially for an account you've had for 15 years. And they said they got most of the important people in their life to switch their conversations to Signal. So, yeah, really cool stuff. Thank you so much for covering this and even writing a blog on it. And as a side note, I hope that more people write blogs and videos and stuff when they do these kind of journeys, because your personal experience going through the journey is going to be different from someone else's. And it's important to share that because there's probably a lot of people that have your situation that maybe don't align with other people's. So, yeah, just kind of a general PSA. I really appreciate the blog, and I wish more people did something like this. Yeah, so that is the win for the week. Now, a couple alternatives and a few notes that I have here. So if you go to our site's resources, and you go here, and you go down, and you try to find messengers right there, you're going to find some other alternatives here. So Signal's, of course, up there, mainly because Signal is a very good balance and middle ground between overall safety and usability. A lot of people can use WhatsApp and use Signal and not really stumble on any major issues or differences, yet Signal guarantees much better safety for those people. So it's a really cool middle ground. Of course, if you want better privacy, you have Session, you have SimpleX, and Threema is also fairly usable like Signal, but it's paid, which on its own is a bit of a friction point for people. But I think the really big takeaway that I want to send home with people is you need to find what connects with your friends, and it's a weird balance of boundaries as well as also helping your friends. Sometimes there are genuine use cases where moving them to a different messenger is actually better for your friends. Good example of this is in the US especially, a lot of people still use SMS, and so it's very easy to say, hey, SMS actually really sucks. I can't send you full quality photos, and we can't see each other type, and I don't get any read receipts, etc. I know with RCS that's better, but still, not everybody's using RCS yet, so you still have that option of going, well, let's just move to this messenger here. You don't even have to, you just send them a link. And then you go ahead and just move to Signal. And then they don't even really know they're using this like very private and secure experience. They are just, it's just a better experience compared to SMS. So I think that's a really good approach. But you're not ever going to get everyone in your life to move over to a new messenger. And so you have to, A, be ready to maybe have some people who just aren't going to speak to you anymore. So that is a sacrifice you might have to make. It's kind of up to you if you think that sacrifice is worth it, depending on the people. If it's maybe family, maybe that's a little less worth it than maybe some casual work acquaintances you don't really talk to anymore. But also look for middle grounds. You know, the middle ground here is if you have to have a WhatsApp account for a couple contacts, can you just keep the account open and then just keep it reserved for those contacts? And then maybe for those five other contacts who have Signal, like you just make the permanent switch. It doesn't have to be all or nothing either. The more messages that you're moving to Signal and the less that you have on WhatsApp, the better you're still overall moving. So I do want the people to also build in a little bit of forgiveness for themselves if they're not able to be perfect here. So those are the overall bits of advice I have. And I would like everyone to share in the live stream comments if you still have to use WhatsApp and what are your friction points. And I'd like to maybe give you some ideas. So if any of you right now are still using WhatsApp, definitely share your reasoning and like why you're kind of stuck on it. And I'd love to maybe share some things. Best case or worst case scenario, I can still validate you. And best case, maybe I'll give you something that can help you out. And someone asked here, Telegram. So I'm getting pretty annoyed about this, and I think it's pretty fair actually, because we have the CEO of Telegram, Durov, the multi-billionaire, who's putting out all these messages. He's like, "Oh my God, it was my birthday last week, and I can't even celebrate my birthday." And for the record, I actually agree with the message itself, right? So the message says, "It's my birthday, but I can't celebrate. All these countries are cracking down. They're trying to pass backdoors and end-to-end encryption and blah, 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 chat control. Censorship is getting out of control." All things that I do agree with. I want to be very clear here. But it's coming from someone who literally doesn't even ship a default end-to-end encrypted app. Like, I don't even know if chat control applies to default Telegram usage, because I would like to remind people, I have to keep saying this, because even over on the Twitter end of things, this seems to be a common misconception. In fact, it's such a common misconception that I think it's an intentional misconception that people think Telegram has default end-to-end encryption. I would like to remind the world it does not. When you use Telegram by default, Telegram has the ability to decrypt your messages and view what you're sending to people. That is in DMs, that is in groups, that is in everything that you do regarding messages. That is actually the permanent situation for all groups on Telegram. The one alternative you have is if you really want encryption on Telegram, where Telegram itself can't read your messages in theory, you have to enable secret chats for every single one of your contacts. You can't just enable this globally on your account. By default, your messages with the contact will still be not end-to-end encrypted, so you have to enable secret chats for that. And secret chats is completely nerfed in the Telegram experience. It is not even compatible with their desktop clients. It isn't compatible with groups, so groups are always lacking end-to-end encryption. And even if you trust everything they say, you have to remember that they're not using the best encryption standards. Even if you have end-to-end encryption enabled, they're using their own crypto, which has been criticized in the past for not being as strong as something like Signal's. So just across the board, Telegram is not a safe tool overall. In fact, I would argue in some ways, you know, we're talking about WhatsApp. WhatsApp has default end-to-end encryption, and at least it's fairly sound end-to-end encryption. So I just refuse to call Telegram a safe messenger anymore, and I think they've convinced a lot of people that they are that safe messenger. So I really want to get away from that, and I think it's really like noble that Durov is kind of talking about these things and making it public, and you know, but at the end of the day, he's pushing technology that's actually not necessarily fighting this stuff either. You know what I'm saying? So that's my rant on Telegram. I do not recommend Telegram as a WhatsApp alternative. In fact, I can make arguments for Telegram being a downgrade from WhatsApp. It's not like I think it's not that clear cut. They're both not great, but I think that having actual default end-to-end encryption for your messages is a pretty good starting point. So, yeah. Sorry for the mild rant, but I want to get ahead of that before I start getting, you know, 30 comments in the comment section going, "Why didn't you talk about Telegram?" You can't say I didn't talk about Telegram now. Okay, so let's move on to the next few wins here. Yeah, sorry, I don't mean to crush your spirit. If you guys have to use Telegram, you have to use Telegram. Just let's not pretend it's a safe place, right? Like I run a marketing job for Cake Wallet, and I very much enjoy it. And one of the things I don't like about it is we have to use Telegram for a lot of things. For some reason, a lot of cryptocurrency people think that Telegram is a safe place still. And so I do have Telegram set up in a Beeper app, which I actually have been really enjoying Beeper to centralize some of that like unprivate communication in one place. And so I get it. Like, I technically have that Telegram account that's completely siloed from everything else in like my life because I don't like or trust Telegram. But I think it's really worth just acknowledging and being real with yourself that Telegram is not a safe place to chat with people. So back to the wins. Internet ghost. I got my the person. Okay, I think that's a typo. I got the person I messaged the most to try Signal again. So far, it's going well, but we're giving it 1 week to see if any problems come up, and then they'll reevaluate. That's another little middle ground. I think if someone's hesitant, just be like, hey, let's just try it for a few days, see if you like it. Give them a chance. And they might, you know, also be ready for them to say, no, I don't like this. So don't get your hopes up. But yeah, I think I've actually done this before. It's been a long time since I've done it, but this has worked for me in the past, and we kind of just stick with it. Last time we tried Signal, there was a problem I experienced where I would not get the notification on my phone. That was a deal breaker for them, and we compromised and switched to WhatsApp. If that problem doesn't come back, then I think I'm in the clear. So good stuff. And ties into the win as well. Cicero says, this week I made the jump to cubes. Kind of. I'm still dual booting Fedora as my machine is not powerful enough to play games on top of the heavy OS. Loving it. You don't game on cubes? Are you even a cubes user if you don't game on cubes? Come on, man. Loving it so far now that I know what I'm doing, sort of. I started using web apps for certain platforms I don't necessarily trust, like news sites, Discord, etc. I went through all my accounts and enabled 2FA codes and security keys for any that would allow it, including this forum. It turned out to be more than I thought. Finally, I convinced some more friends to join Revolt. New Stoat? It's not easy, and moving people over is way harder than moving them to Signal, at least in my experience. Yeah, people really like Discord. Now just wishing they would add end-to-end encryption like they've been promising, but don't seem to be much focused on. Anyway, great week. Hope yours was great, too. Yeah, these are massive wins. And also, it's really cool that you've kind of found that middle ground with cubes. Because a lot of people see it as an all-or-nothing thing, especially because cubes itself allows you to pretty much spin up any operating system on it. So it seems like cubes is the middle ground, in, depending on how you look at it. But I think you have the healthy mindset here of like, no, I like gaming. I'm not going to game on cubes, and I'm still using two very good operating systems. So you're doing well for yourself. And then the web apps thing is also fantastic. This is a bit of a side tangent, so this might be interesting, and this might spark some things for you guys as well. I went on a bit of a rabbit hole this last weekend because my laptop, I've had it for 4 years now, and the battery's starting to get a little worse on it. I think the battery capacity on it's at like 78%, and I'm starting to feel it now. You know, like I'm using it, and I take it outside, and I go to a coffee shop, and I'll work on it for a few hours, and I'm like, whoa, my battery is really low, actually. Normally, I don't even have to think about it. There's no battery anxiety whatsoever. And so I started digging a little bit more into the efficiency of the apps that I'm using. And so I started doing like side-by-side comparisons, seeing memory usage, energy impact, and CPU usage between like something like a native app compared to a web app in something like Brave, a web app in something like Chrome, and all the different browsers. And it was very interesting. So all I can say right now is that Electron, a lot of native Electron apps are extremely inefficient, which I know is a common thing. But when you actually see the numbers for yourself and you even just open a web app in a browser and you compare it to a native Electron app, depends on the implementation, as always. But a lot of times those native Electron apps can be pretty darn heavy and use a lot of resources. So I found like 3 or 4 programs that were running in the background all the time that I was pretty easily able to switch to a web app. And it should make a pretty significant battery difference. Based on my calculations, it should give me like 10 to 15% extra battery on each charge, which doesn't sound like a huge amount, but it actually is a huge amount when you add it up over time. So yeah, just something I wanted to throw your guys' way, which was kind of inspired. I guess that's kind of a win on my end. So that is a privacy slash just general tech win on my end. But also moving to web apps also has other benefits, which are privacy respecting as well. So yeah. Rick Fay finally moved to a no-SIM setup. That's pretty hard to do. For context, no-SIM means it sounds like they're not rocking a SIM card on their phone. So yeah, that's pretty hard to do. They moved both their work and personal numbers to JMP Chat, which is a great service. JMP lets you have real phone numbers via like open source tools. It works over XMPP, so you can use any XMPP client. And then they got a data-only SIM from them. works perfectly just for my use case. Okay, so you do have a SIM. It's just you're just not using the number on the SIM, and you're only using data. So that's pretty cool. It's a good middle ground. It's not for someone who makes lots of calls and use data, but I'm mostly on Wi-Fi, and most of my contacts use either Signal or WhatsApp. This is a very underrated aspect of using end-to-end encrypted messengers, as well as VoIP services like JMP, and even MySudo, Google Voice, because when you're traveling, this stuff actually matters. Because lately when I've been traveling, because I don't use my SIM number for anything, like I don't make any calls, SMS, nothing. Like I could just move at this point to a data-only SIM. I guess I don't know why I haven't yet, but when I move to a data-only SIM, what that means is all you need is data, no matter where you are in the world, and you can still contact everybody without issues. You don't have to go, oh, shoot, this one friend who's watching my dog is SMS, and now I have to pay my cell carrier, you know, dollars for every message I need to send from Canada, right? So it's all these things that actually can help. I can't move out of WhatsApp because if I do, so many of my contacts will start making normal calls. So I'm keeping WhatsApp and enabled passkeys in WhatsApp so I don't have to depend on the SMS verification. Really good stuff, and that's a good middle ground. And again, sometimes you will have to find middle grounds, and I think you're doing a really good job of that. Okay, so a few wins over the last 2 to 3 months. And this is a Bronze Techlorian, so thank you so much for supporting Techlore. You guys can also do that on our forum or on Patreon, or you can go to our website's support page. Any of those things are massively helpful. So they went all in on Graphene using Optanium and Progressive Web Apps with 2 to 3 apps via the anonymous account on Aurora Store. I switched from an iPhone 13 Pro, but I'm really not missing iOS at all. Good stuff. Those are some really big wins there. And Optanium is a really cool project if you guys haven't heard of it before. It allows you to get apps essentially without an app store, and it automates like getting apps from GitHub essentially, so you don't have to do it manually. Set up Molly. I've made a review of Molly if you guys haven't seen it. Let's see here. If you go to our channel, look, we're live. How meta. It's been a while. I don't know why. I don't know if I should. There it is. Molly, a more secure signal. So I did a review of Molly. It's essentially an open source fork of Signal, and it adds some privacy and security stuff to Signal. But most importantly, in my opinion, the biggest thing about it is it lets you use multiple phones on the same Signal device. Because one limitation of Signal is you can only have Signal installed on one phone, and then if you install Signal and log in with the same account, then that becomes your new like main device, if that makes sense. But with Molly, you can use Molly as a linked device. So theoretically, you can have Signal on an iPhone and then Molly on Android and run the same Signal account, which is pretty awesome. Let's see. Maybe it's a split tuning that I'm using like a pro these days after some inspiration from Techlore. Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad that people got inspired by my split tunneling video, which was the goal, because I didn't think that my split tunneling solution would be the actual solution for everybody out there. But I think it was more of an excuse to actually like dig into, like more critically analyze your VPN usage to make it work better for you was the purpose of that video. If you guys didn't watch that video, I was having a lot of issues with my system-wide VPN. So, yeah. Oh, and then Michael in our Signal group here said Electron apps, like in response to the Electron apps, 100% emoji. And from time to time, they just go haywire. Yeah. Some of them are really good. Like Signal is technically an Electron app, and I've had very few issues with the Signal desktop app. I know that's coming with bad timing for you, Michael. I know that you lost all your messages in the new version of the Signal desktop app. Temporarily, I don't think they're permanently gone, but for context, Signal pushed out an update to their desktop app that made your messages kind of disappear on desktop, not on the phone, but on desktop. They're just like, oh, where'd they go? There should be an update. They already pushed out to fix that. So I don't think anyone actually lost their messages. It was just visually gone for some people. I wasn't affected by this, but Michael was in our group. So, and that was an Electron app. So there we go. They got 3 lifetime accounts, Filein, ProtonPass, and BearBlog. So you're collecting them all. With all the above, I'm allowing my separate Proton Unlimited account of 2 years to downgrade to a free account so they can explore Molvad. Yeah, Molvad's a great service. So it's a good little workaround there. Convinced partner to switch to Brave browser and search on both mobile and laptop. Demonstrating Brave Ask was instrumental in effecting this change. Helped them set up profiles and PWAs. Helped them change important passwords and move them to ProtonPass. Really good stuff, and it's cool that you were able to move them to that stuff. I've gotten many of my friends and family on Signal, but mostly I'm the only one they're chatting with on it. So now I'm upping my anti-meta pro-privacy activism by a couple of notches. Pretty good stuff, and congrats. Those are really big wins. Big respect over there. We got Janelle, 1991. What is the advantage of data-only SIM? So they're asking them that question. I often read about Lifetime. Okay, this is more of a following up there. And then we just have one final win before I pivot over. You know, I don't normally go... and Michael confirmed that the Signal desktop client has been fixed. So, yes, you can get the latest update and not worry about that. Last win of the week. We didn't have that many wins, and I'll show you the next thread so you guys can make sure to fill it out this next week, because we can get more wins than this. I know there's more things going on in your guys' privacy lives that you can share. So they moved their grandma to Linux. This is pretty wild. Support for Windows 10 is ending this week. It was finally time for my grandma and maybe my dad in the future to move on. She is not the most computer literate, but she uses the computer for basic tasks like email, looking up recipes, or managing photos. So maybe she would have been fine on Windows 10, but we wanted to be safe rather than sorry. I was pleasantly surprised that all the proprietary programs she uses were either in the repos, downloadable from the web, or had a FOSS alternative that she liked. Also, the printer was plug and play, so hardware support has definitely improved since they tried to print something themselves. As the change happened just this week, I have not heard back on how she likes it, but as I've been the technical support in my family anyways, I don't think this will be a problem. Now, my dad, he does way more stuff like banking, taxes, online shopping, currently is considering signing up for Windows 10 extended support, but that only pushes the problem for a year, so the topic will come up again. Both of them are running Intel 7th Gen, so CPUs that are 9 years old. I really don't get why Microsoft decided that these, especially for their use case, very capable CPUs, are not good enough to run Windows 11. I'm sure all of us in the room can figure out why Microsoft decided that's the case, but it is very frustrating. I made my whole video as well talking about how I have this perfectly capable desktop computer that should be fully capable to run any operating system that exists nowadays, and it just doesn't because Microsoft has these arbitrary requirements for Windows 11 that some of them don't make any sense. And they even talked about maybe enabling some extra CPUs for Windows 11. I don't know if they ended up doing that, but the fact that they just said, yeah, maybe we will, makes it, you know, it speaks again to how this feels very arbitrary. So, quite fun stuff. And congrats on moving your grandma over. And I hope there's an update to this story that you can share if she likes or doesn't like it. And that was it for the week. So if you go to our forum, discuss.techler.tech, and you go to it's the pinned one, and then you just go ahead and leave your wins from this last week. So, yeah, it just started. I posted this last night, and it's going to go, and this is how I do the streams each week. So if you guys go in there, you'll be featured in next week's Privacy Wins, and it's totally free to join the forum. It's hosted there, and yeah, that's it. That's my pitch. So check it out down in the description. And without further ado, I'd love to pivot over to you all and kind of go over what you guys have been talking about. I am going to do something I don't normally do, which is I'm going to turn off my mic and my video, and I'm going to get some water because I realized I didn't grab water, and I'm like drying up very quickly here. So give me a second. You guys start leaving your wins or your questions, and then we'll go ahead and continue together. Okay, I got my water. I was just about to peace out there because of how dry my mouth was getting. I guess I haven't drank enough water today. I feel like when I don't get enough water, my whole body just like, oh my God, we're used to too much water and you're not getting enough water, so you're gonna... I do the same thing with sleep. If I don't get like 8 or 9 hours, I'm just miserable the whole day. It's really bad. Okay, so... we got Japleaks. I don't know if you guys are still online, but definitely say hi. Vibe have Christo Ferris, grunts, noises. I think I provided some alternatives. Actually, they're still on screen here if you guys want to check them out. Session better than Signal. See, okay, from it depends from what perspective. Maybe from a privacy perspective. I just don't think that usability-wise, it's a much harder sell to get people on Session than Signal. So something to think about. Jesus Christ, what took you so long? I would have thought you would have known better. This is about someone else, not me. So if you're referring to that other person, other people still use WhatsApp. In fact, they have 3 billion monthly active users, meaning nearly half the population is on WhatsApp. Definitely more than half of the internet-connected population is on WhatsApp. So, yeah, maybe we should try to understand why there are 3 billion people that use WhatsApp, because it's pretty popular. So, yeah, I don't think that if we just shame people into it, they're going to necessarily move away. Let's see, we got some other people talking about WhatsApp and how they're going to do it too. Let's see. Yeah, everyone in Chile's on WhatsApp, kind of hard to quit. I deleted Facebook and all the Meta stuff, though. Yeah. Again, middle grounds, you can still have an account, but maybe just use it for people who don't have alternatives. I know that it's pretty prolific in certain countries. Let's see. It's good to see you live once in a while. Yeah, it's nice. It's very different. It's a different form factor from having to record videos, and they're a little bit more produced, so it's nice to just be here and just talk. And it's nice too when I click done, I'm done. Because with videos, I do all of this. Like I record, I put my thoughts down, I talk about something, and then I click stop, and then it's like multiple hours to then edit, produce, get it out. So this is nice because when I click done, I'm just done, and this is the video, which is nice. I enjoy it. Deleted WhatsApp 6 months ago from Sir Wolf, and I don't regret it. People can still contact me with Signal, SMS calls, or emails, and I don't miss anything. Your real friends will still contact you. Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. This person tech deleted it 6 years ago, so congrats. Bobby, I think I covered a lot of the reasons to delete WhatsApp, and you gave a little shocking emoji. So, yeah, tech said Signal's clean, no BS. Yeah, it's a pretty clean experience. Okay, so Killer3030 says, "Hi, I'm late to the stream." WhatsApp is kind of mandatory for universities here in Romania. It became so mid-2011 because Facebook and WhatsApp did not count towards traffic on carrier data. So yeah, in regards to this, again, middle grounds, especially with university stuff and work stuff, sometimes you're going to have to use tools you don't want to use. I talked about how I have this Telegram account that I have to use. But it is very possible to pretty much separate and compartmentalize those away from your regular life and try to keep your connections on that platform just, tied to that aspect of your life. You don't need your family members to also join WhatsApp because your university makes you use WhatsApp. Now, you might so happen, why am I, it might so happen that you have to, do this for, unrelated reasons, like maybe your family refuses to move away from WhatsApp and your university forces you to use WhatsApp, but try not to make those two things directly connected, if that makes sense. Oh my God, it jumped. We all saw it jump. Looking for Discord alternatives, if any exist. I think Revolt is probably the closest thing to a Discord alternative. Some people might dare to say Matrix is a Discord alternative. I can't say that most hardcore Discord users would agree with that. So, there isn't a super strong Discord alternative that fully emulates, I think, what Discord provides. I've heard people set up Mumble, but I think it's a bit more involved maybe than Discord from what I've seen. But I'm not a hardcore Discord user, so I'm probably a bad person to ask for this. Alexander Fisher left WhatsApp about 10 years ago, happy with 3-month Signal. Yeah, 3 months is a good service. Yeah, Telegram needs to be activated each time for end-to-end encryption. 90% of their users don't even know about it. Yeah, because they advertise to their users that they are private and secure, and everyone's under the impression it's a safe place to chat. And they don't make it very clear that you have to enable end-to-end encryption for every single message. And even then, yeah, I could go on about Telegram forever. It's like very intentionally misleading the way that they present their features and their safety to their users. I managed to get most of my family on Signal. Some are still on Facebook Messenger and refuse to switch. Yeah, so if, you know, the goal is, of course, to move them to something a bit better. But if you are stuck on Facebook Messenger, at minimum, they do have end-to-end encryption in Facebook Messenger now. So it's the same situation as Telegram. You have to opt in on each, you know, for each contact, but you should be able to do that for each contact, which is a small step in the right direction, I think. But yeah, just keep doing your best, and as long as you manage to get most of them on Signal, that's a huge win. What about iMessage on Apple devices? Is it better than WhatsApp when it comes to metadata and end-to-end encryption? From what I've seen, it's the metadata collection itself is, like, to my eyes, there was no clear winner because iMessage still collects some metadata and WhatsApp collects metadata. But what I will say is that Meta / Facebook is certainly actually using your metadata as much as they can to actually still spy on. They have no other revenue model for WhatsApp, right? Like, now they started running ads in WhatsApp, so that is, I guess, a revenue model. But I still would overall say you're probably going to be better off with iMessage on an Apple device. If I had to choose, it would be iMessage on an Apple device, for sure. Because, A, you don't have to have a Facebook or Meta account to then message with them, so both of you could have just an Apple account. Which I think is a much less invasive thing to have to own than a Facebook account. But also with iMessage nowadays, you can end-to-end encrypt your backups as well, which WhatsApp does. And iMessage is also post-quantum resistant, which is pretty cool. With iMessage, there was something else. Oh, you can use iMessage with an email. So you can connect an email to your iMessage account, so you can just message people as your email, as your alias, and that works with simple login emails as well. This is what I've done as well, some iMessage contacts. So you can get pretty far with iMessage, and it has a lot fewer concerns, but it is not as resistant a Signal to, like, metadata protection and stuff like this. So I personally would aim towards iMessage myself, but I think they're in, like, a pretty overall similar group, in my opinion. We're talking about €3 for Threema, just nothing and worth it. Yeah, I agree. It's not very much money. So I want to be very clear. Threema is not a subscription. It's not, like, insanely expensive, but it's just one more thing you have to convince people to do. Like, we're already having this whole conversation of how hard it is to switch people away from the messenger of choice, but now having to convince them to also pay to move to a different tool, I think is another, like, difficult step, which is why it's not typically my default recommendation for people, and it's not something that I pursue. But if it works for you and you're the people around you, Threema is a great messenger. So, yeah. And yes, you don't have to give your phone number to Threema. And that is a good counterpoint, right? You don't need a phone number for Threema. You do for Signal. And what that means is, if you're out there and you, like, there is an argument to be made. I've heard this argument that if you're in a situation where you don't have and don't intend to have a phone number whatsoever for any reason, then you actually need to get a phone number for the purpose of Signal, which now makes Signal technically kind of a subscription service, right? Compared to Threema, which is just a one-time transaction. It doesn't require a phone number. So that is a very legitimate argument. I do just fight back and question how many people are actually in that situation where they don't have a phone number and they are now just paying for a phone number for the purpose of using Signal. I think it's a bit... it's a bit like lab environment energy, right? Like, yeah, in this, like, very perfect lab environment, that does make sense. But in the real world, that's just not how things quite work. But it is definitely a consideration. Today, fully deleted my WhatsApp account, then shift to Signal. Congrats, Fazzle. That's pretty big and pretty cool coincidence. I don't know if you, like, that's just a coincidence. Like, let me know, like, what was your rationale for deleting it? And, if you just happen to line up on the day of this stream. Yeah, I use Optanium 2 for almost everything. It's great. General rule of thumb is no system is truly secure, as I hear. I mean, it's good to assume nothing has perfect security. Should I be moving from Bitwarden to ProtonPass? Is ProtonPass too recent to fully trust, and does it have other drawbacks? I think the question of is it too recent to trust is definitely an interesting one. It is newer than Bitwarden. I think Bitwarden just has a bit more history. So, yes, but also you have to remember like the teams who are engineering Proton Pass, like the people who are behind Proton Pass, it's from Proton. Proton's also been around a long time and they have a pretty good reputation of doing things pretty well. So, like, I think that is also a factor. So, yes, it is a newer service and it might be a little bit less developed, but honestly, as someone who is trying to use Bitwarden and Proton Pass, I think in some ways Proton Pass is also more developed. So I would be saying that try both of them. They're both free, they're both open source, and actually like see which works best for you and which one you prefer the most. And if you're still impartial to the user experience, then maybe you can start digging into like the very tiny differences. But these are both very trusted password managers that are audited, that are open source, that are doing everything pretty well. So, you're comparing really good services. So, I'd say try them both, see which one you click with best. And that's probably the best one for you. And I can say that I don't really love Bitwarden's UI, so I've been using Proton Pass, and I love Proton Pass. But I also love KeePass, and everyone loves Bitwarden. Apparently, I'm in the minority who doesn't like the Bitwarden interface, but I also don't like the 1Password interface. So, yeah. Oh, and then someone in our signal group said they just got 5 seconds ago the new Proton mobile version. Look not bad. Or looks not bad, I think is what you meant to say. Yeah, the new Proton Mail mobile app looks pretty rad. I was pretty excited to see that. Because it's been fine, I guess, but it wasn't that fantastic. But the new UI looks really good on mobile. Still want Proton Calendar to make some progress, but it's moving along. I think they're slowly kind of piecing that suite together. So it's coming together. Let's see. I got a. Why didn't this? Oh, there it is. Jay, in India, so many people are ditching WhatsApp and installing Indian app Arati Messenger by Zoho. As of right now, no end-to-end encryption, but they promised to bring this in November. Really interesting. Here, let me make sure I heart this on the other end of things. Yeah, I went ahead and gave that a heart, and I don't know why my heart doesn't show up. Oh, yeah, there it is. Thank you for sending a tip, Jay. And definitely interesting context. I would guess that this Indian app, as of right now, is probably not an improvement to WhatsApp, just because of the fact that WhatsApp actually still encrypts your messages, which is a really big start. But yeah, I hope they add end-to-end encryption. I know Zoho has some interesting policies, like they're not necessarily all bad. So I think there could be some potential there. But yeah, if you want to, feel free to keep emailing me or emailing the. Because I have someone else who's kind of filtering our emails right now. So just email contact@techlore.tech. Feel free to like keep sending updates, and that way I can keep up with the situation pretty easily. Because a lot of this news doesn't make my RSS feeds, like all the international news. So you guys actually really do help with that when you send things along. Yeah. Let's see. Daytudin says, "I'm new to TechLore, so welcome in. I'm glad to have you here." And then, honestly, I'm trying to make my small signal propagate, but it doesn't seem too successful. Managed to get over one friend and my parents, but at least little is better than nothing. Yeah, again, you can start small. You'll slowly get more and more people there, probably. So you don't need to. Doesn't need to be an overnight thing. Just get it on your phone. Start migrating people over when possible. Yeah. Do you have advice on work group texts? I can't convince my boss to do it on Signal, and me just using my sudo does really poorly with group chats. You guys are doing a work group text in an SMS group chat? Sounds miserable. Yeah, I would just maybe I would just sell how sucky SMS is and be like, yo, like SMS really sucks for groups. Can we move to literally anything? Yeah. I don't know. That's frustrating. I that's tough because it's a work environment. But yeah. You need salt in the water. You're craving salt, Techlar. Yes. Yeah, so actually, it's really interesting. So your small intestine regulates sodium helps regulate your small intestine and like how much of like your feeling of hydration and how hydrated your body is. So a lot of times, if you are just drinking a lot of water. it's not because you need more water, it's because you probably need a bit more sodium to actually retain the water. And yes, it's something I do watch for, but today, just unironically, I just haven't drank enough water today. Because normally, yes, I don't have to drink that much water, because even some of the water, I do sprinkle a little bit of sodium if it, like, I don't get as much in a day from my food. But today I just didn't drink really any water this morning. So that's really mostly it this morning, I think. Zulip is like Slack and Discord, but open source, and you can self-host it. Mattermost is the same, I think, but more like Slack. You lose Matrix's interoperability, but you gain a much cleaner experience. Yeah, definitely some options to try. We've tried Zulip back in the day. When I say back in the day, I really mean back in the day. That was like 5 years ago, and we did not like that. But that was a long time ago, and things could have changed a lot since then. Yes, Threema is one-time payment, Davey. I moved to Element, and I'm surprised Element doesn't get far more attention in this space. Yeah, so the reason why it probably doesn't. So I left my complaints about Telegram. Those were very valid. I'm going to leave minor criticisms of Matrix, because I do like Matrix. One sec. So with Matrix, the technology is very cool. The fact it's interoperable, the fact it's federated, the fact you can self-host it, all those things. Really awesome attributes, and I think the Matrix project is very important. The reason Element doesn't get that much attention in this space is because a lot of the privacy that you're getting when you're using it isn't as guaranteed as something like Signal. Like, if you're just joining matrix.org home server, you're talking to someone else on the matrix.org home server, matrix.org gets a lot of metadata about your contacts, things that we would otherwise find unacceptable if, like, WhatsApp was doing this, and some of the stuff is the same stuff that WhatsApp is doing, but you're just, you know, transferring trust to something like matrix.org. Of course, you can always host your own, and you, that way you kind of retain control, and there's better things there. You know, Element's end-to-end encryption does seem to be solid itself, but these are valid limitations. And then there's the usability aspect. I think Element still has a long ways to go. And I think their new launch of Element Pro kind of speaks to this, because now there's three different Element apps on the App Store. There's Element, there's Element Classic, and now Element Pro. And I think each one seems to be getting better and better, but I think it just really speaks to the fragmentation of kind of what's going on. And Element's not even the only Matrix client. There's like a bajillion other Matrix clients. And so there's a whole question of like, well, which Matrix client do I use? And you have to explain to your contacts, like, which home server to join. And then you have to figure out, like, oh, here's my username and home server. You have to add me. So it's a bit harder to get people onboarded on something like Matrix. And they're actually still getting less privacy and security than they are when they're using something like Signal. So yeah, again, there's very legitimate use cases for Matrix and Element. And there's a lot of great stuff happening there. I just think that there's a reason why in our space, like, Element isn't seen as, like, necessarily a Signal alternative. It's kind of trying to accomplish very different things, is the way I see it. So, yeah, that's my opinion on it, at least. But I hope that adds maybe a little bit of context as to why I'm reluctant to, like, hardcore recommend Matrix as, like, a go-to end-to-end encrypted messenger for the regular person, as well as, I'm guessing, a lot of other people might have similar reasons. But yeah, there's also a lot of cool things that it does, too. So, I have both ProtonPass and Bitwarden for a backup. Nice. Without WhatsApp, I lost contact with literally more than half of my network of friends around the world. I tried to move away from it years ago. What I achieved was to isolate myself from everybody else. So yeah, don't force it, right? Like, this is why I'm saying it's okay to have a spectrum and move slow. Like, there's nothing wrong with still having the WhatsApp account open and then seeing if, like, you know, throughout the year, you move a few more people over. And then maybe someday you get to the point where it's like, wow, I haven't sent a WhatsApp message in 5 days. And then you're like, okay, I think it's time now. And I can just send kind of, you know, maybe like, hey, these last few contacts, hey, I'm moving. This is it. There is no, like, ifs or buts. I'd really appreciate to have you over there. So, yeah, and then Art SMR, Diane, also said the same thing. So, again, this is common. So I really want people to not leave this video thinking that they should just, like, rush away from WhatsApp. This person has been on WhatsApp for 15 years, the person in the highlight question. And it sounds like they moved a lot of their family over in the process. So don't rush those big decisions. You are still winning by making the small steps to get there. And then, yes, one day maybe it'll feel really good to cut it out. Creative Underground is praising Zoho here, saying they have a decent suite. Chris, can you talk about Beeper a little bit? How's the security and privacy using it with Signal and Telegram? So, I actually have a lot of opinions on Beeper, and I want to make a dedicated video on Beeper once I have more formed opinions of it, because I've just started recently using it the last month or two. And what I predominantly use it for is to help centralize platforms that I don't consider that safe into just one platform, just to make it easier to manage, if anything. It's a convenience thing for me. But here's the overall TLDR on Beeper. Beeper's entire product is to bring together your messages into one place. It supports WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, even Google Voice now. It brings Twitter messages. It brings, there's a few other things. I don't even remember. Instagram messages, I think, are there too. You can bring this all into literally one app, and then it gives you just a streamlined inbox, essentially. Like, imagine, think Apple Mail or like Windows email or your Linux email client or Thunderbird. Think of an email client that has like six different email accounts logged into it. But think of that now as Beeper with your messages. That's exactly what Beeper is. So, a quick breakdown on Beeper. It's not open source. However, what they do is they end-to-end encrypt the messages from on the Beeper end of things. So that doesn't mean that Beeper is somehow magically end-to-end encrypting your messages on Instagram. It just means that Beeper essentially acts like a browser, right? So locally on your device, it acts like a browser. It's logged into your Instagram account, and it's essentially giving you this fancy UI wrapper to be able to send messages from this Beeper interface. But it does still sync to a Beeper cloud account, which is end-to-end encrypted, so that your other devices still get those updates. But it's all end-to-end encrypted, so Beeper, in theory, isn't getting any of that content. Metadata is still definitely a question, but it's not like Instagram is like a, like if you're using it for like Instagram or Google Voice or Telegram, it's not like these things have good metadata protection in the first place. So for me, the main risk here is the fact you're introducing another party into the mix. And there's a bit of extra trust involved now in having to trust two people to protect that data. Now, Beeper, as of about a month ago, put out a super cool update. This is really awesome. They're called local-only accounts. So now with Beeper, you can actually set up fully local accounts that don't sync over Beeper Cloud. So even though Beeper Cloud is end-to-end encrypted and theoretically they can't see anything, now you can do fully local accounts, which makes Beeper literally kind of like a local web browser messaging client that you can use to just keep up with things. And if I open Beeper here, let me see, because not every account is supported on the local account. So let me see here. What's supported? Accounts plus. So Beeper Local looks like it supports on device. It's called on device accounts. iMessage, so you can bring iMessage in there, Facebook, Messenger, Signal, WhatsApp, and LinkedIn. So you can combine all those things in one place. And no, I do not sync Signal to Beeper because I actually use Signal for like personal sensitive things, and I don't want to introduce another party into that. But now that there's an on-device account version of Signal, I would feel a lot more comfortable using it. And I will add that Beeper itself, your Beeper Cloud account is actually a Matrix account. So like you don't have to have like it's also a Matrix client in its own way, right? So it's also where I have my Matrix account that I message people with. You can't add a Matrix account to Beeper. It's just your Beeper Cloud account is your Matrix account, and that's actually how it does all the syncing. So it's very cool. I actually think it has a lot of interesting overlap with our community, and I'd love to do a review on it. So if you guys want to see that, let me know, and I'd love to maybe do something more proper, that's a bit more approachable in like a video format instead of me just sharing on like random opinions here in this live chat that aren't fully processed. Is Aegis Authenticator still a good choice these days? Yeah, it's perfectly good. It's still in our website's resources. If you go to our website and you go to 2FA here, you're going to see Aegis is still there. It's the only problem with it is that it is only for Android. So it's a recommendation that is platform specific, and you also don't have any ability to sync like natively to any other platform. So if you're somebody who does want to sync your codes, you don't have that option. And on the other hand, you have EntityAuth and ProtonAuth. Both of them are fairly similar, like they're both open source. They both are cross-compatible with different operating systems. They both can be used locally without an account, completely offline, or they can be used with a cloud account. So yeah, Aegis is there because it's still really good, but honestly, I don't know why I would ever recommend someone Aegis over Entei or Proton, unless they just have a preference for Aegis's UI or user experience or something like that. Live captions are so rare on YouTube. Do I have that enabled? Is that a thing? Oh, I guess it is. Yeah, closed captions are enabled. Do you guys see that? That's cool. I didn't even know it did that. I recently seen that the final vote of chat control says they weren't enough countries wanting it, so the bill didn't pass. Yep, I did a ton of coverage for that, and that was last week's Privacy Win stream, actually. Have you heard of 2FAS pass? Yes, I have. I need to do more digging into them, because back in the day, they weren't end-to-end encrypting their stuff properly using iCloud. And so I don't know if they fixed that. I still need to dig into them. But yeah, they seem to be really solid. Do you have time to summarize what's up with WhatsApp? I'd say just go to the beginning. I always cover the highlight at the beginning of the stream. Because it was pretty thorough and it was like a 5-10 minute thing. Hey Henry, I wanted to ask about Linux. I hear you talk about it a lot, and would you say that it is something that is essential for privacy and security no matter the threat model? No. Maybe this is a hot take. So here we go. The question here is from Joshi. The simplified version of it, do you need Linux to be private and secure, no matter the threat model? And I think my answer is very clearly no. I think Linux massively helps. I think there are tons of benefits to Linux, and I think Linux is important as a port, even at this point from an e-waste perspective more than anything, but there's a bajillion reasons I can list out why people should consider Linux. But no, I don't think it's necessary. The reason I say that, because I can flip this argument on its head. You can use Linux and still be posting everything on Facebook. You can still be messaging all your friends without end-to-end encryption. You can still not be freezing your credit. You can just be publishing your social security number in a live stream. There are a bajillion things you can still be doing despite the fact you're using Linux that are bad for your privacy and security. So I would say that yes, like Linux can definitely help, but also it's not going to protect everything from you. Just moving to Linux for a lot of people wouldn't actually change very much about their day-to-day habits. They're still going to be logging into Instagram. They're still going to be giving a lot of data to companies that shouldn't have it. They're going to be using the Google Suite. They're going to be using the Meta Suite. They're going to be using WhatsApp, or even worse yet, other things that don't even have encryption. So no, I actually don't think Linux is anywhere near the first thing that people should be using. I think that the place we need to start with people is, hey, are you actually encrypting your communication with people in your life? Hey, are you using 2FA on your accounts? Hey, are you using a password manager to have unique passwords on each account? Hey, are you like considering the fact that not having an ad blocker or any kind of tracking protection in your browser is probably like one of the number one things you can do to keep yourself safe online and help fight surveillance, capitalism, and all the things that we talk about? And none of those things involve your operating system. And your operating system, while yes, does have an impact on your privacy and security, I would argue there's actually a lot more indirect impacts than direct impacts. What I mean by this is, like, the reason why I think Android is really good for privacy and security and can be good isn't because there's anything inherently different about Android itself. It's the fact that Android allows you to sideload apps and use things like FDroid, which have these amazing open source apps that simply don't exist on iOS. But if all those apps were able to somehow exist on the iOS side of things, then I think the whole discussion of like iOS versus Android would actually not even be the same discussion anymore. So I think the communities and the software that exists on each operating system is actually going to be a bit more of a needle that probably moves more people in a certain direction than just the operating system itself. So that's my long-winded answer. So to summarize that, Linux is awesome. Definitely moving to Linux is overall a massive improvement for people's privacy and security, but kind of just in the realm of comparing OS to OS. When you actually look at someone's entire stack and their entire privacy and security journey, and you look at how much changing the operating system actually impacts the rest of their privacy and security, it's probably not gonna be that much. So yeah, that's my long-winded answer. you know of any graphene alternatives that work on non-Pixel phones? Yeah, right now it's really bad after Calyx just dipped, which is not cool. So until Calyx comes back, yeah, I guess you have things like EOS, you have Lineage OS as always, and those are kind of the main ones right now. The custom ROM space is looking interesting right now, so we'll see what happens in the coming years. Because yeah, there's a lot of pressure right now from these big tech companies that I think are doing a lot to the space right now. Starman says, I've had people be judgmental about my use of Firefox and said I should just use Google. What can be done to deal with the general public's pessimistic view on privacy and to get people to care? That's a good question. I actually, it's weird that you're being criticized for that, because I feel like nowadays it's pretty known and like well understood that Google like isn't a privacy respecting company. And so you can just say, well, I just don't want to use Google. I don't want, or even just saying like, I don't want to support a big tech company. Like, I think nowadays it's getting to the point that these big tech companies are so prolific and such bad guys in the story that most people, if you just say, I don't want to support a big tech company, like for me, I've had a ton of success with that. I just say, no, I don't. I just don't want to support this big tech company. And they go, oh, you know, that's pretty understandable. And so that's been my end of things. But like, also, why does it matter? Like, if they're judgmental, use Firefox, just be like, oh, okay, well, I like it. So you use your Google Chrome and I'll use my Firefox. And if you want to learn more about why I use it, let me know. Right? Like, you know, it doesn't need to matter that much. I know it's easier said than done, but yeah, I think you're not doing anything wrong. You're making a good switch for yourself. So just be okay with that. Paul says, I'd like to support your stream. What's the best way, YouTube or Patreon? Yeah, I mean, the best way is whatever's best for you. Here, I'll go ahead. I'll use this as an opportunity to just show what this looks like. So if you go to our site support page, just heckler.tech, you go to the top here, support us. There's free options to support. We have like open source tools like our VPN chart that can always use probably refinements. Those things are changing on a daily basis. So you can contribute to that. You can just be involved with the space. You can join our forum and be active on our forum. You can also just be involved. Leaving comments, just being in the live stream is also awesome. But if you wanted to contribute financially, if you become a Techlorin, you get all the perks and stuff from the Patreon, but it's through our forum essentially, so it's better control. It's like in our house. There's less fees as well, which doesn't impact you, but for us, we actually see a little bit more of the money that you give, and it's not just going to Patreon. And also Patreon, we have heard from a lot of you guys, doesn't like certain VOIP numbers and sometimes doesn't work with privacy.com cards. You won't have that issue if you go through our forum. But of course, a lot of people like Patreon. It's pretty ubiquitous to use Patreon. So we still have Patreon. You can always get Go Incognito. You can do one-off tips as well through our forum, which you can't do on Patreon. There's no perks for that, but that is an option. And you can do one-off tips on PayPal. YouTube also, we have memberships enabled, which is pretty awesome, but Google does take a good cut there. And there's GitHub. And then, of course, there's Monero. So those are kind of all the options. It's kind of whatever works best for you. It's of course massively helpful, so I appreciate anything that you guys do to help support what's going on back here. Let's see. I don't know much about Viber, so I can't really comment on Viber. That's not one I'm too familiar with. Starman said, "Thanks for the help, Henry." Yeah, no, I hope it was helpful. I don't know if that it was massively helpful, but yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Sign up for the forum, guys. Yeah, the forum, if it works for you, right? Like, I don't want you guys to feel forced to have to create a new account just to support us. So if you already have a Patreon account, don't feel pressure. Like, the fees are yes, it's a thing, but it's like the fee difference between Patreon and the forum is far smaller than something like YouTube memberships. But again, if YouTube memberships is kind of the only place that you're able to do it, that's still helpful. And it actually does signal to Google that that's like a valid revenue model as well for creators. And that way, it's ideally a little bit less dependent on the ad revenue model, which is where a lot of the problems are on YouTube. Does end-to-end encryption become meaningless if the endpoint is compelled by law to silently betray you? So it's a good discussion, right? And Michael, I missed your comment here. Before I deal with that, Michael says Zulip is weird. This is way back when I was talking about Zulip. I did not like the UI and how everything works there. It's different than other apps like Slack or Rocket Chat. Fudo community uses Zulip, by the way. I didn't know that. So yeah, I also wasn't a fan of it myself, but yeah. Let's see. Back to Cat Smoker's question. Does end-to-end encryption become meaningless if the endpoint is compelled? So the question here is, if you're using something like Signal, does Signal giving you end-to-end encryption matter if, let's say, iOS or even something in real life compels you to unlock the phone? And the answer is no, because that... Okay, there's a very important nuance here. It does not make end-to-end encryption meaningless, because the whole point of end-to-end encryption is to protect your messages in transit. It has absolutely almost zero regard for like the local device. So Signal sometimes decides that like certain features are things that are easy for them to do to help protect the security locally on your machine. But there's also been people who have come forward and say, hey, Signal, there's this issue where you could make the local encryption or the way that your messages are stored on your device a bit safer, and Signal goes, that's out of scope. Like, we're an end-to-end encrypted messenger. We're here to make sure that your messages in transit are safe, and that is a bit out of scope for us in that specific context. So, no, it's still doing what it's supposed to do, right? Like, there is always the possibility that your device is compromised, that there's malware on your device, but that doesn't mean that the end-to-end encryption aspect of things is meaningless, because it's still accomplishing the fact that you can at least guarantee mathematically with science and cryptography and all these really cool things that are over my head, you can guarantee that the only two people who have a copy of that message are you and the person you sent the message to. So it's a good problem to have, because the alternative is that they don't need to actually go after your end device. The alternative is they just secretly gather all your messages on a server, because there is no end-to-end encryption, and that's just the reality. So the fact that like we actually have to penetrate and get through your device to get your messages is exactly end-to-end encryption working as is. So yes, you still need to protect messages on device. Endpoint security is still important, independent of end-to-end encryption. And that's why things like Lockdown Mode are awesome on iOS. Google's Advanced Protection Program is great on Android. Safe apps installed on your device that aren't malware is very good. So all of those things are very important, and I would be very concerned if there was some kind of government overreach that required some kind of like on-device scanning of everything going on. But that's, you know, a problem for another day. Even the existence of that technology is coming from an overall good problem to have, which is otherwise the government just scraping every message from a server, right? So that's my take on it. End-to-end encryption doesn't solve every problem, but that's okay. It solves one major problem, and now we have to figure out how to solve the other problems that are created by the problem that it solved. Got to get some sleep. Thanks for the show. Looking forward to the next. Take care, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, Paul, and get some good sleep over there. I'm probably going to nap when I'm done here, too, because I'm exhausted, man. I had a long day yesterday. Let's see. When buying Mulvad VPN, what's the positive of paying with crypto compared to PayPal? Crypto is in cryptocurrency. And is it something worth doing for privacy? So if you're going to pay in something like Bitcoin, I think it's actually a bit questionable how, it depends how you send the Bitcoin, where the Bitcoin comes from. Like, it's actually questionable if the Bitcoin's more private than a PayPal account. But Mulvad will get a lot less information about you if you use something like Bitcoin. If you're using Monero, I think then it's actually just objectively better. Like, you might as well use Monero. I think Mulvad natively supports Monero, if I'm not mistaken, but either way, you should be able, if they don't, then proxy stores should be able to sell it to you with Monero. So you can get Mulvad VPN gift cards or codes, however they redeem those. But yeah, I think the benefit is not everyone has a PayPal account, right? Like, just, yeah, not everyone has or wants to have a PayPal account, and you shouldn't have to have a PayPal account to buy a VPN. So they're giving people alternatives. They're giving it to people who maybe live in jurisdictions where they can't easily use PayPal. And so I think it's also like an accessibility thing, and it's making it easier for people to pay with things that might be easier to get wherever they are. Let's see. I'm getting pretty tired, just to be fully honest and transparent with you guys. Like, I'm kind of starting to zone out. So, I'm gonna just pick a final few questions here that are a bit easier for me to answer that I know a little bit better about. So, feel free to start leaving your final wins here, your final questions. I know we normally go for another 15 minutes, but we're already 1 hour and 10 minutes in, and I'm starting to poop out. So, I'm gonna do my final call, and my final call is always not as final as it sounds because we normally still go another 10, 15 minutes. So, yeah, I'm just doing my final call. Go ahead and leave your final questions. No promise I'm gonna get through all of them because I'm a little slow right now. But yeah, I'll do my best here. So, Dark Pitch, have you checked the new DuckDuckGo Pro bundle? If yes, what are your thoughts on the VPN and personal information removal tool? So, I saw the bundle. I haven't actually looked at everything it entails in regards to especially the personal information removal tool. With that said, I think it's pretty compelling. I mean, just from the Duck AI perspective, if you use, because I do use Duck AI almost on a daily basis at this point, not like all day, but it's pretty common at this point where it's like, oh, I need to like put this through a model, but I'm only on mobile, on the go, and the Duck AI app is, it's Duck AI inside the DuckDuckGo app is very nice for that. But it is pretty limited, and the like pro bundle comes with like the unlocked version of that, which would be a lot less limited. So if I had more use case there, then that would be great. The thing is, it really depends what subscription you're in. I think if you pay for Proton, for example, like I'm in the Proton ecosystem, like I already get email aliasing, I already get, I guess if I wanted, I could get access to Lumo, but I'm not using Lumo as on a daily basis. But it would also come with a VPN. And then I use easy opt-outs for my personal information removal, which is very cheap. So for me, I already have those things filled in. But if someone's new to the privacy space or they're just new to the digital rights scene and they see DuckDuckGo's Pro bundle and they're like, oh, that actually overlaps really well and that's the best one I found, it seems pretty compelling. So my yeah, seems interesting. I think someone someone answered the Viber question for me. I don't know if any of this is true. Again, I'm not familiar at all with Viber, but they said Viber is closed source. Its creator is an ex-Israeli intelligence mechanic. He sold it to a Japanese ad fund, but he's remained as the CEO of Viber, waving emoji. So, yeah, if any of that is true, which I don't not believe you, that doesn't look good for Viber. Feels like a weight off my chest. Yeah, good stuff, Chris. That's awesome. Yeah, congrats. It's 3 a.m. in India. Thanks for reminding me too. Yeah, you guys are staying up really late for this. I appreciate that, but also make sure you get some sleep too. Thanks for all the great info. Yeah, of course. Thanks for tuning in. And we don't have any final. Come on, you guys are only leaving something final. Do I want to say that? I feel like be careful what I wish for, because now I'm gonna get like 8 messages all at once. Yeah. All right. I'm not seeing anything. Okay. I'll go ahead and start wrapping it up then. So, my final spiels, one, I want to thank you all for being here today. I know it was a bit faster today, but we didn't have that many wins this week. So I'm going to start by saying join the forum and like join next week's wins. You can go ahead and do that by going to discuss.techler.tech, and it's the pinned one here, your weekly privacy and security wins. And yeah, you can leave anything. It can be like a super small thing. It can be a really big thing. It's really whatever you want to make it. Like, the goal here is for you to have a place and an environment to share your journey with other people and have other people engage with it and give you a bit more of a sense of community when you go on the journey. So the more you guys do that and the more people get involved, I think the better, the more successful it's going to be. So yeah, I'm egging you guys on to get involved with this. But just being here in the live chat and being involved with it is already huge as well. So I want to thank you all for being here. And yes, Matt, iOS Privacy Guide. I know it's there's a lot of stuff. We're behind on a lot of projects right now. That is one of them. I promise you, it is on the radar. So yeah. And then I also want to thank everyone who's supporting us. So our Techlorians, I know we got a few messages here in the Signal group today. It wasn't as lively there this time, which is okay. So thank you, Michael, for Alex and being there. And if you want to join and support Techlore and the stuff we're doing in the digital rights space, you can do it on our website, techlore.tech. /support. And again, there's free ways to do it. There's paid ways to do it. It's whatever you guys want to do, and whatever means you have is greatly appreciated. And then I want to thank our super chat, the person who left the super chat. I think it was Jay, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah, thank you, Jay. And that's all I have. Yeah, Alex said have a good sleep and a nice weekend ahead. And I wish the same to all of you, because a lot of you, it's probably nighttime. And over here where I am, it's quite a bit earlier. So, yeah, thank you all so much for tuning in. And I'll see you maybe not next week. I might not be around next week. So I'll put out some updates if that doesn't happen. It's very unlikely I'll be live streaming next Friday. So I'll see if there's a time to reschedule, perhaps, because I'd still like to try to keep this a weekly thing. So I'll see you all soon, regardless. And have a good weekend.